Fashionably late as usual. It says live on my side.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm still getting big delay, so it was like 10
okay,
seconds
cool.
before it said live on my end. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
Anyway, hello, hello,
you must
hello.
Have CenturyLink internet.
Xfinity, which is almost as bad. It's Xfinity
At least
and
it's not Frontier.
And there's a storm. It's Xfinity and there's a storm happening, so it's
like I said, at least it's not Frontier.
Yeah, so yeah. Hello, hello, hello. that's probably the worst one I've ever done. Very, very very Maloose.
Yeah. And you're like, hey, sup.
We're here.
We're here.
You know the thing.
Yeah.
You know the thing. The thing.
Yeah. Pretend to listen to the thing here. Beep.
All it's right, our St. Patrick's Day episode.
Is it?
Well, I mean, you know, St. Patrick's Day was Friday.
That
so,
was Friday, huh? Yeah.
Which is why
yeah.
Andrew's in traditional Irish apparel.
Yeah.
Traditional
I have
Irish
donned
apparel.
Traditional Irish garb.
Yeah, I don't see any shamrocks anywhere.
Yeah, well.
You didn't see the shake that he's got. He went to McDonald's and got a shamrock shake before you jumped out.
Yeah, the whiskey club that I go to once a month, we had, because it was Thursday night, we had Irish night. And we have a professional chef who makes food and stuff for food pairings and things. And he made a better than Golden Arches shamrock shake for the dessert. And it had a little shamrock on it. And I'm just like staring at it like, oh.
That is such like a slap in the face. I mean, it is a slap in the face.
Yeah, it was.
Exactly, Schaller. Exactly. If milk is green, you probably shouldn't drink it.
It's like, come over for the barbecue, and they hand you an overcooked Oscar Mayer. You know?
Yeah. And you're just like,
thanks.
Yeah. Well, like, and the last one that we had when we had our tequila night, that he did for the dessert, it was like a chocolate mousse creme brulee. So, like, to put in perspective. the variance there.
What?
Yeah. So
tequila night was a chocolate mousse brulee.
Yep.
Right, which is a French technique, I believe.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And we had like a bunch of tacos, but it was like really elaborate and like very gourmet and everything else. And then for Irish night, it's like, here's some deep fried mac and cheese. And here's a Reuben, and then here's a shamrock shake.
Well, I mean, given the current immigration situation in Ireland,
yeah,
I mean, you could have had like literally anything, and it would have
yeah.
been
I mean,
quote
it's
unquote.
Yeah, we probably could have, like couscous or curry or something, and that would be you'll get that everywhere in Ireland now.
That's,
oh God,
that's so sad.
That's
really
well.
Sad.
I mean, it's the infiltration into the Irish government of a lot of British sympathizers.
Well, yeah,
and
the Irish Prime Minister isn't even Irish born, right? If I remember,
he's no, I think he's Irish born. I don't remember if Higgins is Irish born or not, but yeah, Higgins. So well, he's the president. He's the Saoirse, but he He's
God
one.
It,
I mean,
Jason.
He looks like a little frickin' leprechaun. Like, I'll give him that. But he's much. I suspect he, in fact, is a member of the Fae because he's like intentionally
yeah.
destroying the country he's supposed to be in charge of. Yeah, and it's like he's actively
Sprinkle
trying to do it.
Lucky charms and a gold leaf on your shamrock shake.
Yeah.
Schaller, truthfully, the fact he didn't give you a raw potato means he was still going above and beyond.
Yeah, I laughed and I was like, I know a few Irish jokes, and I'm you know, obviously the lone Irishman there, so I'm like, oh, I know a few Irish jokes. And they're like, oh yeah, tell us one. I'm like, how many potatoes does it take to starve an Irish or to kill an Irishman? None.
Oh Oh,
I'm allowed to do that.
you got to know a little bit of history to get that joke.
Yeah, that's yeah. That there's that one, that, and
that's some dark humor.
Yeah, and I was like, see, I'm allowed to say that, but somebody else tells me that joke, and I'm gonna be like, oh, start your own car in the morning, do you? Not for any particular reason. No.
Yeah. Yeah, Scott, what's up, bro? Mr. Cantankerous Tinker. That's a good name, by the way. Especially if you know Tinker. Scott. Yeah. That's a good one. Well, absolutely wiped out.
Big thank you to Dave for coming.
Oh,
through.
Yeah, Dave, you got to put the patch up close so we can talk about it.
So
Dave, Poppins Patches, working with Chris here and a few others.
Yeah.
Worked with patch in honor of Andrew.
And yeah.
You're all such jerks.
And if you go over to Rumble, you can see the video of Andrew opening the box. That had his Poppins Patches notch hat with that patch.
Yes. Dave says, would Irish car bombs still work now that people start their cars remotely? Well,
attorney, I am unable to answer that question.
Brandenburg v. Ohio, 1969. I saw in a movie once where it was not connected to the ignition, and it was connected to the coupling of the seatbelt.
Or pressure plate in the seat, or you could, connect it to the brake pedal.
Well, even the
door handle.
The seat would not necessarily work either, because they used to have someone else start their car for them and then get out of the vehicle, and the intended person to get into the vehicle.
I mean, you could theoretically set the pressure plate to the person who's supposed to be driving the vehicle. So if they send somebody,
yeah, but you'd have to know,
larger or smaller,
you'd have to know the weight and all everything of that person.
Yeah, or you could just connect
it to it. You couldn't find it.
Would require a lot of technology.
Connect it to the neutral lockout.
Yeah.
Because then you go to put it in drive, and that's when
I saw another movie where it was connected to the car lighter, where you push in the lighter, and when the lighter heated up, it popped out, and then big kaboom.
Although you don't even necessarily those things were just weapons on their own sometimes, where they would just fire out of there like Mach 4 straight at your lap, and you're just like, why did that need to be like that?
This year when you bought an aftermarket replacement for one that you lost.
Yeah, I had an aftermarket one in my an 86 Cadillac Brougham, and it was like that, where it would just fire out of there. So you had to keep your hand hovered over it as it heated up to keep it from popping and just firing who knows where in the car. It was ridiculous.
How did the car fire start? Well, he was trying to light a cigar and poof!
And pee! That was great too, because the seats were that velour that was popular in the 80s, you know, for luxury cars and stuff. Yeah. So it all melted real easy. So as soon as that thing hit it just, and I'm like, oh god, really?
You gotta buy the lighters in bulk like you do with the springs on the AR-15.
Yeah, that's the
lighter's easier to find.
The detent springs, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the detents themselves.
The detents themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's gone.
Yeah. They're fun to find at 3 o'clock in the morning barefoot walking in the bathroom, though.
Oh, ow. God. Yeah. It's worse than a Lego.
I was working on cleaning up my room the other day, and I found one.
You cleaned up your room?
Looks like it's time for a new bill. A new bill.
Jordan Peterson would be so proud of you.
About what?
Well, my reloading bench is still a disaster.
He cleaned up his room.
Oh,
Jordan Peterson joke. Yeah, mood killer. Sorry, story killer.
No, that's fine. All it was I found one of those detents that I had launched during my last build. I was like, oh, look, it's time for a new build.
Already collecting parts.
Dave's kind of, that would be a great cartoon or patch cigarette lighter thing popping out, but with the Looney Tunes bang flag popping out of it.
Looks like a deconstructed shotgun shell.
And I don't know if you saw it or not, Andrew, but Dave said the patch brought him great joy to make.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course. Dave enjoys that story.
I imagine
everybody,
it did.
Everybody yeah, enjoys that story, that but story. Andrew.
Oh, Andrew enjoys it. Andrew did stand-up comedy. Andrew enjoys telling that story.
Well, I mean, it would make people just about piss themselves every time I told it, too. And, like, Chris and I, before the show, we were talking about how I should do that whole routine that I used to do on video, and then that way he can upload that entire story the way that I would tell it when I can do the full, complete, unabridged story. Yeah, let's all just make light of the worst day of my life.
Worst day of your life so far.
Yes, so far.
Gotta look on the bright side, gents.
I mean, the worst day of your life at some point, Andrew, is going to be the day your baby girl, you know, graduates.
That's in 4 years.
Yeah, my oldest graduates next year.
My daughter dropped out of college and just graduated from a tech school.
She saved a lot of money that way.
I'm that old.
Yep.
So, since we're talking about the Irish, you want to talk about something fun first before we go anywhere else?
Sure.
How about people 3D printing rocket launchers?
The Free yes. Dairy Rocket Brigade.
Yes, according to it's a Vice article that says people are 3D printing anti-tank rocket launchers now.
That is just the coolest freaking thing. Like,
it is.
I fail just to see the downside here.
That's the subtitle is civilians are using 3D printing technology to make rockets and grenade launchers, which can have major implications for the modern battlefield. I'm okay with that. I'm absolutely okay with that.
Well, we remember we knew the guys that started beta testing the earliest versions of what
the recoilless these.
Yeah, so like we've seen the evolution of these things from the very beginning, and it has been impressive and rapid.
Yes. The AT-4 anti-tank weapon has seen action on the battlefields around the globe because it's simple and effective. A compact cylindrical tube that launches a rocket packed with explosives. It can blow up an armored vehicle from a few hundred yards away, but it's not cheap. The factory-made version sells for around $1,500 a pop to military buyers only, but perhaps not for long.
For those and FYI, it's made by Saab.
Yes. Yes. For those without a national defense budget or security clearance, a knockoff AT-4 is poised to enter the market. Developed by hobbyist designers in Texas using a 3D printer and other homemade parts, the weapon is not ready to take out a tank or even a flimsy plywood target, as a recent test demonstration revealed, but the unveiling of the clonable launcher and its powerful plastic rockets could have a major implications for modern warfare, providing armies and insurgencies, I love that word, insurgencies, with easy access to cheap and disposable anti-armor weapons.
Wouldn't know a thing about insurgencies.
Nope.
No. Sip Shamrock Shake. While untraceable, quote-unquote, ghost guns have stirred controversy and complicated efforts at gun control.
Oh, yep. Shucks.
Yes, yes,
yes.
It's almost like that's exactly what they're for.
What? No.
Advances in using 3D printing technology to make heavier artillery have largely flown under the radar. Quit snitching. Law enforcement documents obtained by Vice News show Mexican drug cartels are already developing their own improvised grenade launchers. Gee, I wonder why they would want those.
Wouldn't have anything to do with the fact that that Congress in the U.S. is talking about, hey, let's declare war.
Literally declaring war. Like, they're talking about UMFs. Mm-hmm. What's the term, AUMF, the authorized use of military force.
Yes.
Yes. The AT4 is just one type of launching device currently being replicated or reimagined by an online community of arms enthusiasts that operate narrowly within the confines of U.S. law. Some are using 3D printers and metal tubes to build 37 millimeter flare or signal launchers.
Hey, that's what they are, man. They're not a true grenade launcher.
That can be mounted to the barrel of a rifle and look to the untrained eye like a grenade launcher. One person has used 3D printing and metal parts to replicate an obscure German anti-tank aircraft weapon and rocket launcher made famous by Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movie Commando.
That's that four-barrel monstrosity. Yep. And I have actually seen a non-functional version of that for sale online of that. That's the 3D printed replica of it, which is impressive as hell.
Yes. While some say they simply enjoy building things that look cool and go boom, quote, this is fireworks for adults, one hobbyist put it. The builder of the AT4 launcher told Vice News he and his partners have obtained special licensing to conduct research using high explosives and build weapons classified as destructive devices under federal law. Remember, when Cody Wilson did the first Liberator pistol, he did so with special permits from the government, and with or through an FFL.
So. Yep. And now you can't stop the signal.
Yes. Even though he says what they're doing is totally legal, the AT4 builder asked to be identified by just his first name, Steve, because he doesn't want to risk his day job, which involves an industry that frowns upon bomb building.
Well, what a lame industry is that? I mean, come on.
I mean, it's kind of important to the industry I work in.
Yep. Okay, hold on. Here's a quote for you. Steve told Vice News, quote, to my knowledge, our rockets are the first in the world to be fully 3D printed legitimate anti-armor weapon. Other guys have made, quote, rocket launchers, but they don't have a destructive warhead. So they're launching actual rockets or actual grenades using 3D printed technology.
Mm-hmm.
3D printed.
I am mildly erect right now.
Yeah, 3D printed body with a steel insert for heat. You know, for heat protection, and unless you want to make it a one time use like an AT4 is, but even that, I would be concerned about the plastic melting.
Only mildly. Well,
if it's
okay.
If you're talking about a one time use, I think 3D printing is easier because you can do chemical welding and all that good stuff, and you can make it solid for one shot, you know, one shot and drop it, right? Just like the original the Liberator pistol is supposed to be, the original Liberator pistol during was it World War One, World War Two, whatever.
World
it was.
War Two,
right? II. Where you were supposed to use that to get better weapons.
Yeah, the original Liberator was a single shot and didn't even have an ejector. You had to literally shove a little wood rod that it came with. It had nowhere for to put it. You stuck that in your pocket, but you could pop the casing out by shoving that down the barrel and load a new single casing in. Yep. But it was only designed to be able to get you to a rifle, which is really what pistols are always supposed to be for anyway, just to get you to your rifles.
But, I mean, you could use these, you know, even a one-time use item to take out a technical, right? Or to take out a fortified position.
Yep.
Right, Myanmar has already proved the legitimacy of 3D printed firearms. The rebels in Myanmar are using them to fight off the government.
The FGC-9s.
Yeah, the FGC-9, RIP J. Stark.
Yep.
This is just the next generation.
Oh, it was always going to go this way, always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hey, I'm here for it. This is kind of cool.
Well, yeah, and you consider
from here.
Consider, I mean, the pressures are so much lower than they are with an actual gun when you're talking about a rocket, because it's blowing out the back, so you just have backblast coming out. You don't have to worry about recoil, really. You don't have to worry about high pressure. It's all very low pressure. It's all pretty freaking easy. to build. The main thing is just heat shielding. I would just want a metal insert in the rear of the tube for heat shielding, just so that it doesn't melt before I drop it. I'd rather it not start melting as the back blast of the rocket is still going through it. Thanks.
Well, I'm sure we can get around that with even simple aluminum cans.
Right? I was just about to say that if you were to cut the ends off of an aluminum can and make your bore diameter the diameter of an aluminum can, you could easily just slide that down in there.
Well, yeah, and do two or three layers of cans for safety or whatever.
Well, I was just thinking like HVAC ductwork. You can slide that in there.
That would work too. Yeah.
I'd probably get away with some PVC, some of the thicker PVCs.
If it's one time use, yeah.
One time use, fire it the once.
That was what I was getting. It was one time use, right? Like if we're going long term use, right? I want it made out of metal, you know, out of steel or something like that, you know.
I mean, yeah. I personally, I mean, a plastic body with a, say about a quarter inch thick aluminum insert that goes the entire length of the bore, that would give you multiple shots.
Yeah, probably. The heat doesn't stay in there very long.
Nope.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, it's a pretty impressive amount of heat. Having, you know, fired stuff, I've seen what it'll do setting things behind you on fire. Anything more American than a beer can lined 3D printed rocket launcher? America!
The only thing that would come close would be the impetus for the patch.
Yeah. Hey, Billy Bob, you need to finish that 30 rack off. We got four more of these to build.
Yes. Steve is a former Army mechanic who lives in Texas and partners with another ex-mechanic named Dan to form DNS Creations, as they're known on social media. Working with a YouTube channel called Ordnance Lab, which those are cool guys to follow. They posted a video 2 weeks ago showing the test launch of the 3D printed explosive rockets. The devices still aren't quite ready for prime time. For safety, they used a remote trigger for the launcher mounted onto a wooden frame. So they made it technical. Rather than having someone hold it and shoot from the shoulder as they would in combat. The precautions proved wise as one of the rockets misfired and blew the AT launcher tube to bits. Yay.
That embedded plastic, you're muted, Andrew. Embedded plastic that's melting as it's embedding itself. That sounds like a great time.
That's prudent then to have that remotely fired for the test. That would have been unfortunate.
The original Liberator pistol, right? I think Cody said it was like it would get 3 or 4 shots and then it would destroy itself. And then, like, he had to improve it and improve it and improve it, right? You know, there's a dozen iterations of it before he was able to, you know, like really use it. You know, and like with the FGC-9, right? I mean, there was 5 or 6 different iterations with the Glock lowers. There's several iterations. There's what, 10 or 12 different iterations of the AR lower currently out there, right? If you include the U-bar people. So,
right.
Yeah.
This is just the first iteration.
Oh, yeah. And once there's a base design that people know works, they can begin to work from that. It's the same thing that happened with the FGC-9, where once the FGC-9 existed and worked well, and we knew that it would work well, then we can go from there and we can continue to not just iterate on it, but also use it as a springboard and its design principles to then design other stuff, which is what we've seen happen. I mean, there's now a 3D printed MP5.
Yes.
Like, which I want real bad.
Well, and you know, it's getting even better too, because now they're starting to improve 3D printing technologies, right? They're using things like chemical weld, right? Yeah. I don't know if you guys have followed this at all, but they're using different chemical solutions and like they're printing it in chemical solutions or using chemical rubs to put it together. I saw one the other day of a new 3D printed bump helmet, and it had a spot for the nods. It had the thingies on the side. It had the spot for the earmuffs on the side. And the person was just slamming the shit out of it with a hammer. I mean, just slamming the shit out of it with a hammer, and it wasn't doing anything to it.
Yeah, it shouldn't, because, I mean, if it's the right polymer. But, I mean, like, they're also using the resin printing is big right now. Everybody's going to the high-resolution resin printing, which is one of the coolest processes to watch I have ever seen. Yes. I freaking love resin printing. Mm-hmm. It's super neat. But I mean, realistically, even if 3D printing technology, if prices continue to trend down, metal sintering will become affordable.
Yes. The aluminum powder printing, that's coming down in price too. Like, it used to be like it was like $250,000 machine. Now they're in like 130, 140. Yeah. So it's coming down too.
With anything, all of that stuff, that technology will continue to improve and get cheaper because they'll find more efficient ways to make it effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like how when we were kids, home computing was a multi-$1,000, in some cases tens of thousands of dollar enterprise. And now we could do the entire show from our cell phones that we carry around with us.
True.
Yeah, those cell phones are also multi-$1,000 investments.
Depending on the cell phone you get, I mean, yeah.
Metro you could PCS, maybe.
Oh, God.
Okay, hold on. The team has built other types of recoilless launchers using rocket-propelled rounds of various sizes, according to their videos. Although the performance of the rockets is still not equivalent to commercially made versions, the development has advanced greatly over the past year, Steve said. And currently the 3D printed bombs could be effectively dropped from drones rather than fired from a launcher.
Oh, you yeah. Know,
we've seen very some easily. Of that in Ukraine, too.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Ukraine has had a ton of that with those little 3D printed releasers.
Grenade droppers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the grenades. Like, we've seen a ton of that, and this would be way safer for the operator, because in order to put the grenade in those little cages, you actually have to pull the pin and use the cage to hold the spoon.
Yes.
Which does not make me feel comfortable in any way, shape, or form, because when the pin is pulled, Mr. Grenade is not our friend.
Some of the 3D printed rockets that they have used over the years.
Some of those look like they could be daytime tracers.
Some yeah. of them look like what's over Andrew's shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are similar to that 88. Well, and the thing is too, is like with him talking about, well, it can still, even though it's 3D printed and it's plastic, it can still take out a tank. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, you're using a shaped charge.
Which he says in the article, a plastic bomb can kill a tank and everyone in it.
Yeah. I'm at
half mass now.
Yeah, it's a shaped charge. So all you really need is like a tiny little bit of concrete in there, right, to focus that blast forward and the explosive in the correct shape. And then, or even just clay, realistically, you just use ceramic. But you do that, and then it's just the copper cone, and that's it. There doesn't need to be a lot to the body of the projectile when you're using a shaped charge. Yep. So as long as it falls straight down and lands on that tank, it will blow it very easily. Mm-hmm. I mean, so hell, the Japanese put one on the end of a stick.
Throw out your military cred real quick, just for people that are listening, so they know you're not talking shit.
So I have an extensive background with weaponry for the United States military. That's about as much as I can say.
What was your MOS?
18 Bravo.
Working with
Special Forces.
Yes.
So
that's what I wanted. Third group, yeah. I think you said before.
That's about as much as I can. I'm actually allowed to say. Apparently, I've received a phone call. so. I was informed I needed to shut up. Oh, it was not a suggestion. Realistically, you know, a shape charge can be in anything. You can turn wine bottles into shape charges.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. So because the curve in the bottom and it turns the glass into plasma and it still fires, it still works the same way. Right. If you could turn a wine bottle into a shaped charge, a 3D printed rocket will certainly work as a shaped charge. Let's be honest. So this is like viable technology, which is cool as hell.
But remember, you need you, in order to take on the U.S. government, you need F-15s and tanks.
Well, we'll probably be 3D printing those in the next 12 months. So
all you need are fiddles and Appalachians. What are you talking about?
It's, I mean, it just, I like the revolutionary nature of this can't really be overstated, right? Like this changes everything. The ability for people, average people, to suddenly have access to this technology at will is landscape altering on a modern battlefield.
Yep. And there's absolutely no way they can trace any of it.
Yeah. There's also another video linked in this article by a guy who runs...
apparently there is a 3D printed mini tank, according to Tinker Scott.
Yes.
That would be so cool.
So Jonathan Wild, operating as Wild Arms Research and Development. He also has videos on YouTube of the initial testing of the M202 Flash. That is the Schwarzenegger movie Commando one.
Yep. And there is the they're mentioning the Panzerfaust and the Fliegerfaust. Mm-hmm. I've seen both of those. I actually watched those get developed, which was really cool, on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
As he was posting pictures of it and stuff. It's freaking awesome. Like, I really want a 3D printed Panzerfaust. I don't even need it to actually work. I just really want to be able to put it on the wall behind me for the show. Like, just have a Panzerfaust sitting there next to the German 88. That might start to imply things that I don't mean to imply. Okay, maybe not just exclusively the German World War II stuff.
Andrew needs a mini tank big enough for him to sit on, and he can just put his camera out in the front so it just zooms back at him, and it's all you see is like the top half of Andrew coming out the top of the tank.
and Andrew's got this big shit-eating grin on his face.
I need a 3D printed Stug would be amazing, because Stug life. But I love this Stug, man. It's the single most produced armored vehicle of World War II. Like,
so this article goes on and on. It's a Vice article, so it's unnecessarily long.
Unnecessarily long fear porn.
There's a lot of fear porn, but I mean, if you can read around the fear porn, then it's a lot of fun.
It does mention the name of one of the weapons. That's one of my favorite things. That four barrel Arnold Schwarzenegger thing. The name of it.
The M202. The
yeah, it's the Ass Blaster 202.
Ass Blaster 202. Yeah.
I freaking love it. Well, the original, that first 3D printed rocket launcher, was designed to fire twisted tea cans. So.
Moving up in the world.
Oh, the scrolls down more, and they're talking to about another guy who goes by the name Danny Meatball, who has been working on a 3D printed semi-automatic launcher that shoots 26.5 millimeter signal flares.
You know, I don't know if it would work or not, but a 3D printed Mark 19 does not sound outside the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm. That would be, you're giving me dreams, Chris.
Oh, man, they mentioned AWCY. Those guys are dicks.
Yeah, that's the semi-automatic, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
But as
AWCY I said, is a bunch of jerks.
It's an unnecessarily long article from Vice.
But they have to fear porn it up, man.
They have to fear porn it up because it's Vice. That's what Vice does. So, but as always, links are in the description. on YouTube, and yeah, I sent the article to Dave. Dave said he wants 5.
I mean, the thing is, though, is like, yeah, okay, this is a lot cheaper, but if you actually consider just how much filament is involved in creating those projectiles,
it's a lot of filament.
It's a lot of filament. I don't know how much cheaper than buying an AT4 it is, but
it's not.
Well, it's not really the
not registered.
I was going to say, it's not the price really that's the impetus for this. It's the fact that you don't have to go through all the hoops in order to get it.
Yeah, it's true.
That's true.
So
I'm just with this conversation, I'm just waiting for YouTube to pull us down. Like,
you want to give YouTube a reason to pull us down and go to our secret article? Or do you want to hold off on it?
How long is the secret article? Because I...
Okay, well, we have to do it then. It's a short article, and I can't read the title. I cannot give you the title because it would give it away.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. I can't really read the first... If I read the first paragraph, it'll give it... Okay. On Saturday, far-left radical group called Mask Block PDX, BLOC, mask as in mask you wear, Mask Block PDX, announced via Twitter that it would be hosting a funeral to mourn the death of the public health following news that Oregon would be ending its mask mandate for healthcare settings on April 3rd.
Are you kidding me?
Read that again.
On Saturday, far-left radical group Mask Block PDX announced via Twitter that it would be hosting a funeral to mourn the death of public health following news that Oregon will be ending mask mandates for healthcare settings on April 3rd.
You mean they're actually finally following the established science on the matter?
Well, not only that, but these idiots are mourning the fact that
hold on.
They're getting rid of the masks.
March 3rd, Kate Brown.
April 3rd.
On March 3rd, the Oregon governor said, hey, we're eliminating the requirement that you have to wear a mask in a healthcare setting. Right? This is going to take place 30 days from then, which is April 3rd. So after April 3rd, you no longer have to wear a mask in a hospital or doctor's office in the state of Oregon. These people are holding a public funeral so people can mourn the loss of the mask mandates in healthcare facilities.
Humanity is doomed.
Oh, we've been doomed. We've been doomed since the beginning of this PSYOP.
Hold on. The ceremony is scheduled for Monday, March 20th, and will take place at Pioneer Courthouse Square, a busy downtown Portland gathering place. Those who choose to attend are required to wear N95 masks or similar.
You know, this definitely ties into the previous article because my attorney has advised me not to finish that statement.
Hold on. let's see. The Twitter announcement says, quote, please join us at our in-person event on Monday, March 20th at Pioneer Courthouse Square from 4:30 to 5:30. Wear funeral black, wear your mask, bring signs, come ready to share your story if you want to. They also added that while also giving people the options to share their stories via the Google Forum.
What stories? The fact that you based your entire self-worth around your obedience to government and not questioning it, and now that's going away, so suddenly everyone will remember just how vacuous and useless you are again?
Hold on. Mask Block PDX has decried the move to do away with mandates, calling it, quote, the end of infection control in Oregon.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'll just be over here with my winter of illness and death.
The end of infection control in Oregon.
Oregon
I
is
would just
an
like
infection.
To point out yes. You know, for Oregon, Operation Enduring Clusterfuck.
Western Oregon and Western Washington are infections. They are cancerous tumors on the remainder of the state.
Yes.
God damn it.
Yes. It's just, like, again, I mean, but that's the thing, though, you got to remember, is that, like, these people literally based their entire personality around, oh, look at how virtuous I am because I'm obeying government, because I'm buying all of this, yes, and not questioning it, and I'm wearing a mask, and I'm doing, you know, buying 3,500 rolls of toilet paper, and I'm bathing myself in fucking hand sanitizer.
Doing this as people are sharing needles on the streets of Portland. They're doing worse than that on the streets of Portland, bro.
Yeah, they're doing much worse than the streets of Portland. But like I mean, like, these people, this was their whole sense of self-worth, right? Like their whole is entirely based around that, like, they view themselves as good people because they were being obedient, and that's it. Like, they didn't question that, nothing, and, like, they think that makes them special. And so when suddenly now there's nothing extra for you to comply with anymore that they can show off and go, look at how compliant I am, see how virtuous I am? Now that they're losing that's why they're freaking out, because now they don't have anything else. This has been their entire life and their obsession all day, every day. Yeah, for 3 freaking years.
The end of infection control in Oregon.
This is, you know, and I love the fact that they're all willing to out themselves and stand, you know, congregate in one place.
If only we had some sort of 3D printed.
Not that I would ever condone such a thing, but
Your Honor, he said in Minecraft. He said in Minecraft.
So yeah. But I mean, like, I think it'd be great to show up to that with a 3D printed tank and just, as you roll by, just be like, you're all idiots, and just keep rolling.
And, you know, it's funny because at the facility I work at, they just about 2 weeks ago ended our requirements to wear them in public spaces.
I had to get an X-ray 12 days ago, something like that. I had to wear a mask.
Yep. Well, see, we're not requiring it for patients and visitors anymore unless they're exhibiting respiratory symptoms.
Yeah.
But which, you know, actually makes some degree of sense. But for staff that are working directly with patients, while they're working with them, they're required to wear one.
Yeah.
It's, but, I mean, Dave, they're going to have, now they all going to have to drop dead so people know they took the vax. They have died of suddenly. It's the Oregon Trail. Look at that. They've died of suddenly. You know, it's sad, though, that they're wearing black, because really, shouldn't it be white, since they're all a bunch of fucking sheep?
They're in mourning, though. They're in mourning. That's the thing. They're upset that that infection control has died in Oregon.
Despite the fact that every study done said that the masks did absolutely nothing.
That is such a dystopian phrase, is it not?
Yeah.
The end of infection control has died in Oregon.
We're back to, you know what the most effective infection control is? Wash your fucking hands.
I was gonna say flamethrowers, but yeah, they're probably right.
I was gonna go with rabbit, but apparently,
apparently
my mind is in different places.
We can't all be promiscuous as you are, Andrew.
No, but while we're in the PNW, we do have an update. Last week,
I gotta bounce. I gotta take care of Anarcho Baby. So,
all right, brother. Have fun.
Peace.
It's So last week we talked about the assault weapons ban coming to Washington. Right?
Yep.
We didn't really go into it. It was kind of like it was a real short article that we got into. I found another article that has more information in it, and there's a particular fact in this bill that will cause some twitching.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
Some serious like level 10 Forrest Whitaker eye, right? So we talked about Washington Senate and Justice Committee is scheduled to vote next week on House Bill 1240, creating a state definition of assault weapon. One of the reasons is due is that the definition of assault weapons in the bill, although it specifically lists 62 rifles by name, quote, regardless of which company produced and manufactured the firearm, the ban also applies to any semi-automatic rifle with a barrel length less than 30 inches.
What?
Hold on.
Why?
I'll read that again. The bill specifically lists 62 rifles by name, quote, regardless of the company produced and manufactured the firearm. The ban also applies to any semi-automatic rifle with a barrel length less than 30 inches.
What could that possibly matter? 30 inch... No one carries rifles with 30-inch barrel. What are you, like... that's a musket. That's not a rifle. That's a musket.
I don't think I've ever seen a rifle with a 30-inch barrel.
I have, but they were called muskets. Like, that... So, in the early 20th century and late 19th century...
The M102, what's the barrel length on the Barrett? Right, 28? I want to say it's like 28.
I was going to say it's like 20. It's 27 or 28 inches, I think. It's not even that long.
Yeah.
But there. So in the late 19th, early 20th centuries, a lot of countries adopted rifles, like France, Germany, a few others, where they had variations where they had a carbine length, a rifle length, and then the musket or musketoon length. And the musket length was super ridiculously long. Like, if you look at some guns from World War I, you see just how incredibly long those barrels are. Those are like 30-inch barrels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, like, nobody makes a gun with a barrel that long.
I think with the 5.56, you get depletion after, like, 26 inches, right?
Yeah, it's something like that. Depending on load, it's something like that. Yeah. Because that's the other issue is you're talking about rifles with barrel lengths longer than the powder burn.
Yeah.
So
and then you have 2 or 3 inches, like say it's 26 inches, like I said. So you have 26 inches of the powder burning, projecting the round, right? But then you have that, what was it, 4 inches now, right? We're going to 26 to 30. So you've got 4 inches of it not being propelled, right? So it's friction against the barrel, destroying the last 4 inches of the barrel without projectile, without anything projecting it. So it's just slowing it down. So now you have an inaccurate round that's losing velocity three quarters of the way down your barrel.
Well, yeah, and the only solution to that, the only possible solution to that would be to increase either the amount of powder that you have, so now you have exclusively like Magnum calibers and things. Mm-hmm. Either do that or have a really slow.
Or 5.56, you're going to what, 77?
I mean, see, it's too bad that Chris isn't here because he knows a lot more about the Sammy stuff than I do. But
Dave says Squib City, entirely possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that shouldn't happen in 4 inches, but it could, depending on how fast the round is supposed to be traveling anyway. Yeah. But you're severely reducing effective range of weapons. And I mean the only solution that the industry is gonna come up with if the GOA doesn't kill it, and they're certainly trying, and I think FPC is as well, but the issue is going to be that what you're going to create is an environment where everyone is now rocking not only ridiculously stupidly long guns, but they're all running like these super potent calibers or really slow burning powder that's really hard to get a hold of. That's the other thing you could do is just have a slow enough burning powder that now your maximum acceleration comes at the very end of the barrel, 30 inches. Mm. But I mean, these people are idiots. Idiots.
The 300 blackout, right? That's your baby.
Yep.
Right. So, right. That 300 blackout was designed to be subsonic from a short barrel.
Yeah, so it's got really fast burning powder. Really fast burning powder is what he generally uses.
Yeah, so 300 blackout in a 30-inch barrel.
It'd be useless. It won't work. I mean, yeah. the round will be keyholing within 3 inches of the muzzle. Like, there's no point.
Broadside vibe check.
Yeah, I mean, well, and the thing is, too, is it's semi-automatic rifles, which means, okay, so I guess I'm just going to have a bunch of lever actions now.
Yep. Yep, hold on. Give me one paragraph. Because of this and other firearm restrictions in the bill, GOA Regional Director Monty Brown told the Center Square that an estimated 90% of firearms would be illegal to sell and purchase. Also, due to the bill's grandfather clause, it would also be eventually illegal to own them. Yes. The quote, the bottom story is that they don't want guns in the state of Washington. The whole motive is to disarm everybody from any weapon they want to have. No.
The next line, it just upsets me so much. The bill's intent language states that all weapons that fall underneath the definition of assault weapons are, quote, brace yourselves, like M16s, thus are weapons most useful in military service, end quote.
It's like take every piece of anti-gunner lore, throw it in the bill.
Yeah, it's the, I mean, the, was it Joel Mac, Rep Joel McIntyre, Republican from Cathlamet, said to colleagues on the House floor, what does it mean to be like an M16? There's nothing in here that gives a strict definition. It is a rat's nest of interpretation. Well, yeah, because what would you, how would you define something like an M16? I would like for these people to even tell me how an M16 functions. Without looking it up, without any can they just off the cuff explain to me how an M16 functions? Because I guarantee you they can't. They have no idea. For them, you load a magazine full of bullet clips in, magic, evil magic happens, and death comes out. That's their understanding of guns, right there. They have no idea how any of it works. If you showed them a firing pin from an AR, they would have no idea what it was. They'd assume it was some sort of finishing nail.
Yeah, yeah. The shoulder thingy that goes up.
Yeah, the shoulder thingy that goes up. They have no idea what a muzzle brake is. They have no idea what, you know, what the point of a pistol grip is, or a foregrip, or an angled foregrip, or anything. They don't know what any of this stuff is for.
Mm-hmm. According to Rifle Shooter Magazine, most rifles are between 21 and 24 inches, which is still a little long. And anything longer than 26 inches is quote unquote uncommon. The bill's definition of quote unquote assault weapon includes rifles with the capacity to use a magazine with 10 or more rounds, regardless of caliber size. HB 1240 also prohibits pistols with threaded barrels that allow for the use of suppressors, also regardless of caliber size.
So your little 22 pistols, if it's got a threaded barrel on it, nope.
Yes.
Sorry. It's now banned as an assault weapon.
Yeah. The bill's intent section states that, quote, assault weapons are not commonly used in self-defense and that any proliferation is not the result of the assault weapon being well suited for self-defense, hunting, or sporting purposes.
You don't get to just declare this arbitrary bullshit that's demonstrably incorrect and just make it true. And that's what this bill does, too, because don't forget there's also that language at the end of it that says that none of this violates the Second Amendment. See, yeah. There, we said it, so now you can't argue that. Like, no, that isn't how that works.
It just declares, wah, it doesn't violate the Second Amendment.
I didn't just write it down, I declared it. Like,
it doesn't stop you from owning a gun. You can own a 30-inch single shot. Oh.
I mean, it's the same thing. Like, this is the same kind of stupidity like Europe tried with their and still tries with their their caliber bans. Right, any caliber used by a military, civilians are not allowed to use. So the way people get around that is, like, for instance, well, you can't have 5.56, but you can have 223.
Okay, hold on. Other accessories prohibited include folding stock, recoil compensator, a shroud to shield the user's hand from barrel heat, a grip that is, quote, conspicuously beneath the action of the weapon.
So that's like literally every modern firearm made in the past 60 years.
Wait, everything. Are they saying you can only own a bullpup with a 30-round barrel?
No, because the grip that is conspicuously beneath the action of the weapon is designed to get rid of pistol grips, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is that most grips, most rear, a little more rearward grip on a rifle, it is going to be conspicuously below the action. It is very rare to find a grip that is in line with the action because it would be nigh impossible to shoot. Mm-hmm. So, like, what?
Get those New York State, the Safe Act, the Safe Act stocks. Have you seen those?
Yeah, but they it won't even allow that because there's grip below that. That's so that they can ban those too, or like the stupid California fin things. Oh, it's so that you can't do that to get around the ban. The problem is that a Remington 700's grip is conspicuously below the action. Mm-hmm. A Mini 14's grip is conspicuously below the action, and it has a barrel shroud. Like. This is the dumbest thing
we're looking at spade grip 30-inch barrels.
No, you'd be looking at a what you'd have to be looking at is like a hand cannon. Like literally like a petard, like a medieval petard, but with a 30-inch barrel.
Captain Kirk has entered the chat.
Yeah, it's because the action of most rifles is here with the grip here. Like that's kind of, because of the way the human body moves, kind of necessary. So there's maybe some World War I submachine guns that's not the case. Otherwise, I'm pretty hard pressed to like come up with anything that's even capable of semi-automatic fire at all that doesn't have a grip.
It has semi-automatic without a detachable magazine capable of holding more than 10 rounds.
Well, which is why you get a 458 SOCOM. Because a 30-round 5.56 mag is an 8-round 458 SOCOM mag.
I'm in California. We know that loophole.
Yeah. So now I have 458 SOCOM. It's only an 8-round magazine.
I have a friend that has a 458 pistol.
That's just insane.
It is not
around you because it's all on fire now.
It is not fun to shoot.
I don't imagine it is. But it's and Bowen said the Supreme Court is going to have to pull the trigger and make an example. I mean, the thing is if it goes to the Supreme Court, to SCOTUS based on the Bruin decision, it's going to get nuked.
Isley doesn't care about that though.
No, they don't. They don't care because it's not about actually succeeding. It's about shifting the window.
Yeah, we talked about it before. This is so like literally every assault weapons ban to this point, right? California, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, Chicago or Illinois, even Colorado's, right? They've all been in within this window, right? This kind of like a standard Dianne Feinstein, you know, stamp and repeat form. This is the first one that goes beyond that. I mean, this goes way beyond those other ones, right? With the conspicuously below the grip and the 30-inch barrel. Like this is just it's an outright backdoor gun ban, period. Right, which is what they wanted. They wanted that window.
And it's an outright gun ban that declares itself totally not a violation of the Second Amendment.
It declares itself, yeah.
It's like, but you don't get to just say, well, this doesn't violate the Second Amendment. No, that isn't how reality works. You don't get to just say that it doesn't do a thing that it does. It's like, no.
Yeah, but they're voting on that March 23rd, which is Thursday. Oh. Yeah, should be interesting. So, how about from it to an equally dumb city?
Oh God.
Go to Newark real quick.
Dave pointed out in the chat, so we're all just getting M2s with butterfly triggers.
Yes.
Because the grip isn't below the action, it's directly in line with it. So clearly this should be okay, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't it doesn't have a 30 round or more magazine. It's belt fed.
That's true. Butterfly or spade grip or butterfly grip, whatever you want to call it, on a 30-inch barrel with just a 10-round belt just flapping in the wind below it.
No, this is compliant. Boom, 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 boom. I don't need more than 10 rounds with a 50. The bark alone is going to be enough to make you dive for cover.
Oh. Mask block is going to need more than N95s.
How many M95? That would be fun. I want to see somebody do that.
How many N95s it takes to stop a 50 caliber?
Yes, I want to see that now.
Matt, demolition.
Yeah, exactly. Like, demolition, hey, get on that.
I know he did it with the plastic shields, the face shields.
Yeah,
it didn't take many to stop.
Yeah, it. I imagine the cloth N95 mask is going to take quite a few of them.
Yes.
To stop a 50. I mean, enough of them will. Once you get enough layered up,
they will.
Yeah, yeah. But that's how it's going to be a lot.
That's how physics works.
It's
New York is selling a lot of them really cheap.
Yeah, a lot of them really cheap.
In a textbook scam, in a textbook case of an overseas scam, except the victims were an American city. Officials in Newark, New Jersey were initially thrilled to partner with the Hindu nation of the United States of Kalisa. The only problem, the country doesn't exist. After hosting delegates from the made-up country at a formal ceremony in January, City Hall has admitted that the whole thing was a scam led by notorious Indian fugitive Swami, whose last name I am not going to try and pronounce.
Nithyananda.
Nithyananda?
Nithyananda.
Yes.
Nithyananda? Yeah, Nithyananda.
Okay, so Swami. Swami.
Yeah.
Newark officials said the agreement only lasted for 6 days and was rendered, quote, baseless and void, adding that no money exchanged in the ceremony. Quote, although this was a regrettable incident, the city of Newark remains committed to partnering with people from diverse cultures in order to enrich each other with connectivity, support, and mutual respect. Yeah. So they got during the singing ceremony on January 12th, Newark Mayor Ross Baraka told the fake delegates, quote, "I pray that our relationship helps us to understand cultural, social, and political development and improves the lives of everybody in both places."
Yeah, I love that. But there's no improvement coming for the fictitious residents of Kailasa, and Newark residents only feel embarrassed that their leaders fell for a scam that could have been avoided through a simple Google search.
Oh, man.
Oh, that, yeah, no one in City Hall, not one person did a Google search. So maybe we need a transformation of City Hall, because not one person said, "Let me go on Google and figure out if this is a fake city."
Yeah. And there's the fake delegation.
I love the fake website, though. It's freaking great.
What's the fake website?
So the first thing that pops up on Google, however, is a link to a website promoting the fake nation as an ancient enlightened civilization, the great cosmic borderless Hindu nation. It also touts Nithyananda as the reviver, claiming he is worshipped by more than 20 million people in 196 countries around the world.
In reality, Nyanda is an infamous scam artist who claims to have supernatural powers and has been on the run from rape and child abduction charges in 2019. Oh, that's fantastic, Newark.
Yeah. The con man was also the subject of the 2022 Discovery Plus series, My Daughter Joined a Cult.
Oh, offered citizens e-citizenship through a QR
code. Through a QR code? None of that? None of that, like, raised any red flags to anybody? No one was like, you know, I feel like a real nation probably wouldn't let you just become a citizen with a QR code.
With a QR
like,
code?
At no point did anyone... Oh, my God. I mean,
oh,
I will say it's a brilliant scam. The fact that they actually sent a fake delegation who actually met with these people and took part in a ceremony is just ballsy as hell.
The fact that the whole thing lasted long enough from initial contact all the way through writing up the papers, planning the event, having the actual ceremony, and then 6 hours later going, holy shit, we got fucking scammed. So this had to be like weeks in the making, right? Like, this sort of thing doesn't happen, on Tuesday and then on Wednesday, right?
Weeks or months.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a long con.
So there was money spent on this. Like, it didn't go to that guy, but there was money, like, actual, like, man hours spent. Right? Plus everything at the ceremony. So there was actual money spent on this.
I just...
Yes. You're elected officials.
No. These are the people that people think should be in charge of their lives. Like,
these are the people that write gun control bills.
Yeah. Like, really? Really? Cause when I say you should be free and then you argue, no, I shouldn't. These are the people that you're saying should run your life for you.
Newark just needs to vote harder, you guys.
I mean, Newark is one of those places that could break off into the sea, and I don't think anyone would care.
No.
We'd all just wave. I mean, all of New Jersey, really, could probably just go.
I would look for that QR code if I get a tax break, though. I'm just saying. So.
No, I'm a citizen of this ancient Indian country.
Yes.
Well, how'd you get citizenship there? QR code on the internet. Like
QR code on the internet, yeah.
Oh. Oh, at least Sealand gives you royal titles and stuff for money. Like, and it's just blatantly they're doing it for money. Like, at least. At least they're open about it. Like, these people didn't even give anybody any titles, man. Like,
even the one that Shane Radliff made with Panzia, even then you can get like an actual passport.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
he doesn't use a QR code.
Yeah, there's no QR code to scan. Well, he's behind the times because clearly this non-existent country is ahead of everybody here with their tech.
Oh, worshiped by 20 million people in 196 countries. How many countries are in the world?
It's probably like 200 and something, I think.
Like 213 or something like that?
Yeah. Something like that.
Number of countries in the world. Oh, it says there's 195 countries in the world today.
In 196 countries. So he's even worshipped in a country that doesn't exist.
Yeah,
which is the one that...
Yeah. Kaleza, however you pronounce it.
Yeah, Kaleza and Kaleza. I don't know, but that.
Let's see, where did he say... claiming that he is worshipped by more than 20 million people in 196 countries across the world.
Yeah, because there's one more country in his world than there is in the real one. The one that he supposedly runs.
There's a Google search saying there's only 195. Just putting that out there.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I did a search a while back because I was curious. And autism brain. And to look up how many countries existed when I was born versus now, like how many countries that were there when I was born no longer exist, and how many now exist that weren't there before. And it's actually quite a few. I was pretty surprised.
No. Yeah. No. All right, where do you want to go now?
Oh God! Looking at the rest of these, I don't freaking know, man.
I don't really want to talk about either of these.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm like, because we're either going to talk about complete economic collapse,
or potential banking system collapse.
Yeah,
or Trump.
Well, or Trump.
Yeah, which is like, not a topic either.
Yeah. Like, oh man, I don't know. I guess we can talk about the impending doom of all financial well-being in the world, because that's at least exciting.
The Fed? Yeah. The Fed could add up to $2 trillion to the economy with its new bank lending program. It's a JP Morgan.
Couldn't possibly go badly.
So, I mean, we're in this situation because they created, what is it, 6 trillion or 7 trillion in the last 3 years? 8 trillion in the last 3 years?
Well, yeah, if you look at the total amount of holdings by banks at the beginning of what's happening now, right, it was $15 billion higher than it had been at the start of the pandemic.
Mm.
Guess how much the total was of the stimulus checks?
Yeah.
$15 billion.
Yeah. Could the Federal Reserve's new bank backstop program reverse some of last year's monetary policing or policy tightening? JP Morgan Chase and Company estimates that an additional funding from the U.S. Central Bank's new backstop program could add up to a maximum of $2 trillion in liquidity. Quote, the usage of the Fed's bank term funding program is likely to be big. Yeah, so the maximum amount projected by JP Morgan is $2 trillion, with smaller banks likely being the main users of the program. So, I mean, we're just going to throw another $2 trillion created out of nothing. Poof, into the economy. What could go wrong?
And keep in mind that what they're talking about here is literally exactly what the Federal Reserve was supposedly founded for.
Yes.
This is what it's what it was meant to do. And Nelson Aldrich and J.P. Morgan and the Rockefellers and everybody all got together on Jekyll Island. This was the Aldrich plan. Like this was what it was meant to do. Is exactly what it's what they're talking about doing here. This is why they created it, was because they wanted to be able to save themselves with everyone else's money.
Yes. Yes. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Where were we? The new Fed program was set up over the weekend after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. Quote, the bank term funding program was created to support American businesses and households by making additional funding available to eligible depository institutions to help assure banks have the ability to meet the needs of their depositors.
We call this a bailout.
Yes. JP Morgan added that $3 trillion worth of reserve is still within the U.S. banking system, but the larger banks hold the majority. The new Fed program has enough power to reduce the pressure banking reserve issue, but it could also reverse some of the tightening done by the Fed to battle high inflation. Okay, let's talk about that. SVB. So what it is, so the interest rates went up, right? So interest rates went up, making treasury bond buying more lucrative, right? That's the whole thing. So SVB was offering long-term inflation or long-term profits at like 3.5% or whatever it was, right? Let us store your money with us. Let us use it. We'll pay you back an additional 3.5% over, 30 years or whatever it was. The T-bond, the short-term T-bonds went up to like 5.5% or 6% or whatever it was. So they could make more money in 30 days with a treasury bond than they could in 30 years with SVB. So the investor said, give me my money so I can go buy treasury bonds.
And then not only that, but SVB
said, holy shit, we can't cover our debts.
Yeah, SVB specialized in funding Silicon Valley startups.
Yes.
Right, that's what they did. They funded startups. And startups generally need their money frequently, right? Yes. Like they need money quickly, they need it frequently. And as long as interest rates were low, it was very easy for SVB to keep that rotation going of deposits coming in, money going out constantly for capital to all of these startups. Well, the problem is that when interest rates get high, suddenly getting loans in order to fund these startups and keep operating capital flowing, suddenly these loans are really hard to get. So they're like, well, now I need my cash from SVB, and SVB does not have the liquidity to cover that because they didn't anticipate what was about to happen.
Yeah, because the investors pulled out because the Federal Reserve issuing these interest rates made 30-day bonds more attractable than the 30-year interest rates that they were getting with SVB. But don't worry, the Federal Reserve is going to step in to save them by creating $2 trillion out of nowhere. Everything is fine.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's not like that's a freaking replica of the, like, mini replica of what started happening that killed Lehman Brothers.
Yes.
Right? Like, I'm sure it'll be completely fine. It's not going to be an issue at all.
This is fine, you guys. Don't worry about a thing. Everything is Gucci. It's
fine. Well, what did they say? What did those economists say that there's like something like an additional an additional like 40 or something banks globally that are at risk of the exact same thing happening to them?
No, the 186 banks.
Oh, 180. Jesus Christ.
Yes. That is the other article that we have on this particular subject. On the heels of Silicon Valley Bank's collapse earlier this month, 186 more banks are at risk of failure, even if only half of their depositors decide to withdraw their funds, a new study has found. Woo! Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Don't worry about it. Everything is fine. Because the Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rate hikes to tamp down inflation have eroded the value of bank assets such as government bonds and mortgage-backed securities. It's fine, you guys. Don't worry about it. Everything is fine. The recent declines in bank asset values very significantly increased the fragility of the U.S. banking system to uninsured depositor runs, economists wrote in a paper recently published on the Social Science Research Network. A run on the banks could pose potential risks to even insured depositors, those with $250,000 or less in the bank, as the FDIC's deposit insurance fund starts incurring losses, the economist wrote. Quote, so our calculations suggest that these banks are certainly at a potential risk of a run absent other government intervention or recapitalization. So the recapitalization is that $2 trillion fund. So.
Again, everything is fine, everyone. It's don't worry.
Everything Gucci. Don't worry about it.
Don't That's worry. Go buy surely.
A go buy a big screen TV. You're fine.
Yeah. Just yes. Keep spending money. It'll be okay. You know, it's not like this is the final death knell of the American dream or anything.
Let's see. Back to that first article. Quote, following the latest U.S. banking headlines, we think we are heading into a, quote, bad news is bad news trading environment with markets more sensitive to recession risks. While Fed actions reduce that risk, we believe there are many carry trades that would be under pressure and it will not be possible to backstop all of them. Put that in. It will not be possible to backstop all of them. Who are they going to backstop? Not you and I.
Nope. No, they're backstopping. Yeah, the people that they're backstopping are the bankers, right? The banking cartels, the big businesses, the rich elites. Those are the ones that they're going to back up and keep from losing money. Because Don't forget that none of these deposits, none of this stuff was going to get covered with SVB because it was outside of FDIC control. Mm-hmm. Until the rich people started going, but all of our money's there.
That's what, who was it that said that? Mark Cuban. I think Mark Cuban's the one that said that when SVB collapsed and Janet Yellen's like, oh yeah, we're not, we can't help you. Mark Cuban put out a statement that, said something to the effect of, if you don't, this will hurt the wealthy people. And then, like, the next day, Janet Yellen's like, oh, yeah, we created this program overnight that's going to add $2 trillion into this pool, and we're totally going to help you guys. Yes. It's fantastic. Aren't you guys just so excited for the future? I need a 3D printer.
And a lot of filament. So much filament.
Oh my god.
You know, that's the next thing you're going to want to regulate is going to be the filament itself for 3D printers.
Yes. Like they went after ammo for a while.
Yeah, and it'll be like they'll treat it like cold medicine where like if you buy too much of it in any given time space, then you get reported and you get put on a list.
Yeah. Yay, another list. I wish I got badges for being on lists. That would be really cool.
Like federal no fly merit badge.
Yeah, merit badge. Yeah.
That would be awesome, actually. I'd get a sash.
A sash, yeah.
And just put them on there.
Yeah, hashtag no fly list. No fly list merit award winner.
I've been on it for 8 years running.
With cluster. Can't ride to the Greyhounds either.
I'm banned from trains, buses, and airplanes.
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We don't want to talk about the collapse anymore. Well, not that collapse. Let's talk about Trump.
Let's talk about that collapse.
Okay. Dave, make a sash for patches. All right, we at Anarchy Among Friends objectively believe that the Daily Mail has the best headlines. Right? We're agreeing on that, Andrew.
Oh, I mean consistently, because they don't give a fuck.
Okay. NYC battens down the hatches. NYPD prepares to mobilize 700 disorder control riot cops ahead of ex-president's possible arrest as MAGA supporters descend on Trump Tower.
Oh, they're making it sound like it's a...
There's so much there. There's so much there.
Oh, like it's like there's people are forming up battle lines. Like, it's just...
I didn't see one 3D printed rocket launcher in any of the pictures.
Yeah, what the hell? Come on.
It's not a real insurrection.
Yeah, it's like the in France when they started like chucking Molotov cocktails at the cops and stuff, and the smack on the back of the head. That's how you do an insurrection.
They're rioting again right now. Ireland's getting spicy too, by the way. I don't know if you've been following that one.
Oh yeah. Well, Ireland's always a bit spicy, but
just the brand new hotel that was about to be opened for like 500, you know, quote unquote refugees, just miraculously had a fire and burnt down the night before it was supposed to open.
Fucking mystery, real tragic that.
They opened their own door.
But I mean, like the French are real good at taking care of political issues in effective ways.
I think the Dutch, the Netherlands, the Netherlands right now too. They're going spicy with the farmers.
Yeah, well, yeah, and what's funny about that is, you know, don't forget that the Dutch are also the ones who once ate their prime minister.
That's true.
So
the last video I saw was tractors driving down the street dropping manure in front of the government buildings.
Nice. The British did that a little bit ago, and I think the Netherlands did too.
The Netherlands is doing it because of the new EU regulations, the carbon footprint regulations. So they're outlawing some of the ammonia nitrate manures or some fertilizers. So they're you know, that's going to limit the food supply, and that's going to limit what they make.
Mm-hmm.
Comes a big money issue, and they're going to lose farms and all that.
Well, and
stuff.
It's already, I mean, anybody who's watched, like if you haven't watched Clarkson's Farm on Prime, you're missing out, because Jeremy Clarkson farming is one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen. But I mean, also though, like at the end of that, the first season, he talked about the fact he made like 168 pounds working like 12 hour days for 4 months solid out of the year, mm-hmm. and 8 hour days the rest of it. He made 168 pounds.
And what is it? What's the quote? Growing your own tomatoes is the quickest way to spend $200 to save $2.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yuppers.
Yep. Oh, but all right. The Big Apple is ready to batten down the hatches and mobilize 700 riot cops ahead of President Donald Trump's anticipated arrest early this week. State, city, and federal law enforcement agencies have been meeting in recent weeks to discuss how to deal with the expected widespread protests following Trump's arrest, and his supporters have already started descending on Trump Tower. The New York Police Department is even considering stationing hundreds of riot cops, fearing that Trump's arrest may cause both MAGA conservatives and anti-Trump protesters to face off outside Manhattan criminal court as he is arraigned. Trump is set to face criminal charges for the $130,000 payment to his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, paid to porn star Stormy Daniels toward the end of his 2016 presidential campaign. Prosecutors say the payment violated campaign finance laws and was made to silence Daniels about the affair, she had with the mogul. That's the whole cusp.
So they're going to possibly arrest him, potentially sparking a massive riot because he paid a hooker.
Well, he paid his lawyer, and the lawyer paid the hooker.
Well, yeah, he paid his lawyer to pay a hooker.
Yes, that he had an affair with. I think she was a stripper, technically.
Well, no, because Stormy Daniels is a porn star, so like, she's effectively a hooker. She's just a hooker that gets recorded.
Yeah, which makes it legal.
Yeah, which magically makes it legal in the United States. One of the few countries to fully outlaw prostitution. I just really,
you know, I'm still keyed in to some of the groups that I used to be with. I used to follow. I used to talk to before I came into this whole libertarian thing. And there are seriously people in there talking about World War III if Trump gets arrested. Like Civil War 2.0, marching on the Capitol building, all that sort of stuff if Trump gets arrested.
Stands in the rain, looks, don't do that. Don't give me hope.
Jack says that's why you have interns do it.
And don't forget that Trump is looking at being arrested because he paid money to a lawyer to pay his girlfriend, right?
The person he was
Clinton
with, yes.
Yeah. Clinton was impeached not because he had oral relations with an intern in the Oval Office, but because gangster. He may have gangster. Made her lie.
Yes, gangster.
Ooh.
But he got impeached because he may have made her lie.
Yeah, he used her as a personal humidor. Nope, that wasn't it. That wasn't the thing that he got in trouble for.
A personal humidor?
Well?
That's a good, yeah.
But that isn't the thing that he gets in trouble for. It's he might have made her lie. I know that whole thing. That was a heck of a saga, man. Kids today do not know how insane the 90s really were.
Oh,
like the
Waco and that.
and the dress that she inexplicably kept, like, why would you?
Didn't that
sell, creepy and weird
sell an auction recently?
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah. Jack brings up JFK. Well, I mean, JFK, though, everybody kind of knew about him and Marilyn Monroe. I mean, that was obvious. Real obvious.
Let's see. 2015 Erotic Museum offered $1 million for her dress. Let's see. I don't know. I don't see anything about that. But apparently she was offered $1 million for the dress. Yeah, okay, so she was offered $1 million for the dress.
Did she still not wash it? Was that still unwashed by then?
I don't want to know. That's something I don't want to know.
Are you really not just the least little bit curious, like, what possesses a person to leave that? Because, like, I really, like, what kind of screwed up...
Let's see. What's that Trump statement? I want to read the Trump statement. Come on, Daily Mail, show me the Trump statement. Yeah, they're not going to show me the Trump statement. But Trump put out a big post on Truth Social, essentially calling for people to go down there.
Yeah, he said it was like, it's all in capitals. There's like no punctuation. It's like, hey, Donnie, your caps lock is stuck again, bro. said blah, blah, blah. Now illegal leaks from a corrupt and highly political Manhattan district attorney's office, which has allowed new records to be set in violent crime and whose leader is funded by George Soros, indicate that with no crime being able to be proven and based on an old and fully debunked by numerous other prosecutors fairy tale, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protest. Take our nation back.
Take our nation back. Yeah. Yeah, that was page two. There's a longer one that he wrote, but
that's where he's calling for like protests to occur.
Yes,
and it's, I mean, Dave, are you kink shaming her? Yes, yes, I am. That's gross, man.
She boldly went where so many women have gone before.
Underneath the resolute desk in the Oval Office?
Sure, let's call it that.
Well, I mean, that's the name of the desk. It's the resolute desk.
No, but... Oh, yeah. Yeah. Got anything else?
I'm in awe of like the idea that, you know, one, that Trump has such a cult around him at this point. And
it's the great man fallacy. Right? The great man fallacy. But it's not necessarily that he is a good man or that he's a great man, you know, anything like that. But it's that he's not a politician and that he says things in a way that angers who people see as their enemy. Right? Like, you even see a lot of anarchists that get like, they'll say things like, I don't like Trump's policies, but I love the way that he made the left angry. Which I can understand. The Trump derangement syndrome. That was a lot of
fun. It's been hilarious.
Yeah. It's been absolutely hilarious. The memes are fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I mean, it's the same thing as like when.
Would I gear up and go march on the streets at NYC to prevent his arrest? No.
You can pay me enough to go to New York for literally anything. That's,
you know, people say that all the time. Oh, you couldn't pay me to do that. Bullshit. Like, that check would have a lot of commas.
I mean, okay. The Federal Reserve could probably pay me enough. Yes. To go to
the question your wife asked, would you punch me for $1 billion? For $1 billion, they'd have to pull me off you.
Oh yeah. When I saw that video, I looked at Lindsay and I was like, if somebody offers you $1 billion to kick me in the nuts, I will be pissed off at you if I am not immediately laying on the floor gagging.
The line that got me is the guy goes, I don't even care if I have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah, like, yeah, I loved it. I'll punch you, I'll slap you in the face for $40.
Yeah, I don't care if I have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah. if somebody offers you, like, honestly, if somebody offers you $1 billion to do something, do it. $1 billion. Why would you not?
This is the same woman that just asked if I would love her if she was a worm.
Yeah, exactly. Would you still love me if I was a worm? No, because you're a worm.
You're going on a hook.
Yeah, I you're gonna be your bait at that point. What do you?
Yeah, no. So, what do you think happens? I mean, it's. I think at this point in time, it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to be. I don't want to say arrested, but it's going to be. It's a foregone conclusion that something's going to happen, right? Let's say that he is arrested, right? He gets brought into the. I don't think he's going to get cuffed. Gets brought into the jail, gets fingerprinted, gets processed, and he gets right back out. Right? He pays the bail or whatever. Do you think anything's going to happen? Not necessarily
to him
Trump.
Or in general?
In general. I don't think anything's going to happen to him. He's going to go in. He's going to come out. It's going to be the end of it. He's been there for, 2 hours or whatever it is. The reaction on the street, though. The internet's going to be wild. Twitter's going to be absolutely unhinged.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Right.
I do expect some sort of a riot, because even if the hardcore Trumpkins, and I can't believe that they even still exist, like Jesus, but the hardcore Trumpkins are like worship him so hard that I don't think that they can tolerate.
Said, as Dave said, he's not great, but he's the greatest I've lived through so far. I can't argue with that. Right, but the greatest so far doesn't mean good. Right? He passed more gun control than Obama did.
Yep. In fact, he executive ordered the exact same thing that Obama got massively protested against for threatening to do.
Yeah.
He also said take the guns first, due process second.
Dave said it'll just be a perp walk. Yeah. Like he'll I don't even know if he'll be cuffed. Like he'll go into the station, processed, fingerprinted, we'll see the pictures within the hour or so, because those are going to be leaked. And then he'll post bail and he'll get right back out. He might have.
Are you kidding me? If they don't handcuff him, he'll demand that they do so that he can walk out holding up his wrists.
Perp walk like AOC did.
Yep. And he'll do that. Yeah. Yep. Well, except AOC didn't even get cuffed. I mean, she wasn't even actually cuffed, but he will intentionally make sure he gets cuffed so he can hold his hands up handcuffed and be like, like Greta Thunberg, right? With her fake arrest. Mm-hmm. That's what he's going to do so that he can whip everybody into a frenzy. Because I think also for him, I think he's such a narcissist.
He can campaign on this.
Yeah. But I mean, also he's such a narcissist that I think he enjoys seeing all of these people willing to go to jail for him.
Yeah, this is all also happened at the same time that the DOJ announced that they've issued another 1,000 arrest warrants for J6. Right, so they've already got 400 or 500 people that they've already gone through cases and or are in the process of going through cases. And now the DOJ has released another 1,000 arrest warrants or something like that, or looking to arrest another 1,000 people. Right. So that would bring it up to 1,500 people for J6.
Even though they opened the doors and escorted them through and showed them around and.
Bro, they opened the door and walked with Shaman. I watched some of those videos. They're laughing and joking and pointing him in the direction and holding the door for him and literally walked him into the Senate room and took the picture.
Yep.
Oh. Well. But what do you think is going to happen?
I think you're going to see... A whole bunch of, for sure, a whole bunch of protests, right? We're going to see a whole bunch of people marching with signs and waving American flags and Trump flags and a lot of red hats again and all that obnoxious crap.
Picking up their own trash and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the image that stands out to me about the January 6th insurrection is still that video of that woman sobbing because she got maced. Going, it's a revolution. And like that.
Staying inside the Velvet Line revolution.
Yeah. Like that right there sums it up. And I think you're going to see exactly the same kind of stuff. You're going to see a whole bunch of impotent rage that's going to be expressed civilly. There's not actually going to be any riots. There's going to be a bunch of angry protests.
Because the right won't do that because they're concerned about the aesthetics of the protest.
Yeah, and they'll also, you know, I mean, that's the thing, is they'll, not only will they do these stupid, useless, meaningless protests, but they will be respectful of the police the entire time. They will, like, be respectful of property the entire time.
Virginia, right? 2020, right? 40,000 mm-hmm. people showed up to Virginia to that Second Amendment rally, Second Amendment Day, or whatever it's called, right? 2020, and they cleaned up after themselves, right? Yeah. That was the major bragging point, is that they cleaned up after themselves.
And yeah. Then, see, look, we protested Virginia, and we didn't do anything.
Yeah, and Virginia passed almost every single.
Yeah, we called it the Big Begaloo at the time, because that's what it was. Yeah. They were just begging and pleading, please, master, no. And that's not, no, that is not how you armed protest, number one.
Yeah.
And
there's no 3D printed rocket launchers at your protest. Did you even really protest, bro?
Yeah, like, if it ain't that lit, then I don't want it. No. But it's...
Hold on, like, I got a Molotov cocktail patch.
If your protest ain't this lit Molotov cocktail, then I don't want it. Don't worry, it's fiery, but it's mostly peaceful. It's a fiery but mostly peaceful cocktail.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my thing with it, though, too, is, like, this is going to be another one of those completely impotent rage moments where all these people, they get their, you know, they get their anger and frustration out and they do nothing with it. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't alter anything. It's not going to magically make Trump president or anything else that these people apparently inexplicably want. Like, yeah. It's not going to change anything. That isn't that it's a completely useless, impotent gesture. And they're going to do it, and then they're going to pat themselves on the back because, oh, look at what we did. Oh, we made them real scared when nothing happens to Trump. Mm-hmm. And the reality is nothing was ever going to happen to him anyway. You didn't change a damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it comes down to is nothing's going to change because I'm trying not to Fed post too hard. But I have to respect the left, quote unquote, the left, because the left has the cojones to go out and physically enact their rage. The right will not physically enact their rage because they're concerned about the aesthetics. They're worried about the perception. They're worried about pushing people away, right? So the left appeals to the left and cancels to the right. The right appeals to the left and cancels also to the right. So they're literally doing the same thing while having a different ideology, right? Or different perceptions on things. But they're playing into the hands of the people that they supposedly hate. They're playing into the hands of their enemy because they're worried about looking bad to their enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is they won't, again, try not to Fed post too hard.
If you are the left,
the left has the balls that I wish the right did.
Yeah, if you are really that angry with your government and you are really that fed up with things,
not just your government.
Why?
Not just your government.
Well, I mean, just the way things are running and the people and everything. Like, if you are really that angry and you are really that fed up, mm-hmm. you should not be concerned with whether or not you're trying to do something to change it upsets the people that you're protesting.
Yes.
Yeah, you just shouldn't care.
Dave makes a good point. The conservatives don't want to hurt the wrong people either. The left thrashes wildly and hurts everyone. Yeah. And the left is efficient. The left gets what it wants. The left controls the government, controls the media, controls the tech industry, controls the schools, controls large parts of social media.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they're winning.
The left is winning because the left circles around itself and protects itself. And the right,
yep.
the right will go after someone making the right look bad before they'll go after the left.
Oh yeah, all day. You hear that all the time where they're like, "Well, but you know, you were disrespectful and you're disrespectful to," like when we see them go, "Well, I mean, you know, I can only be programmed so much because, you know, eventually if you're saying that you want the Second Amendment to protect yourself from government, that means you're going to have to shoot at police and soldiers and they're like, "Don't want to do that." And it's like, "So you're not pro Second Amendment at all. You don't believe in that at all because that's literally what it's for."
Yeah.
The fact that the right can, the fact that people on the political right so often can simultaneously have a thin blue line flag and a Gadsden flag together, or a come and take it flag with a thin blue line on it. I've seen that one.
The Gonzalez flag with a thin blue line.
Yeah. Like the fact that they don't see how ideologically idiotic that is.
Cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, the fact that they don't see it, the fact that they don't notice, by and large, the majority of conservatives do not see the problem with that. That is why conservatives are losing everything, because they're not willing to actually stand up lest they be viewed as disrespectful.
Yes. So, on that note, Brandenburg v. Ohio, 1969, ruled that the government cannot punish inflammatory speech unless that speech is, quote, directed to inciting or producing imminent lawless action and is likely to incite or produce such action. Therefore, everything said here on Anarchy Monk Friends Roundtable Discussion is entirely hypothetical. There. That was my first time saying it this episode.
I know.
So I didn't say it earlier. But I felt it needed everything, to be said. I felt it needed
everything
to be said.
Everything said is hypothetical and purely for entertainment purposes. Nothing should be considered to be a call to any sort of actual action whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. That is a theological discussion that you and I can have, Dave. I have an opinion on that that differs. And David and Goliath is a really good example of that. No.
I'll just point out that there's a Bible story where a person's ear was cut off and they were not scolded for attacking the person and cutting their ear off.
Yep. whips and table flips. How about that one?
Yep.
Yeah. They also told you to sell your cloak and buy a sword.
Yep.
So
swords are not meant to be toothpicks, all right?
Yes. They're not meant to be smithed into plows.
Yeah. Swords are a very purpose-built tool.
Yeah. So on that note, let's throw some links and get out of here.
Coffee. Since Chris isn't here.
Yes, coffee. Coffee brand coffee.
Coffee. Yep. Buy it. I think he's got an affiliate thing.
Yes. Link in the link tree.
Yep. Also, by Derek's book, Think for Yourself, Thinking Workbook for Beginners. It's available on Amazon. Let's run through all my affiliates. Beardstruggle.com. Use code INKEDANARCHIST15. You get 15% off of your order. They just released a new additional beard straightener and a new beard care package that's super, super cool. And I believe currently on sale. And yes, I believe my discount code does stack. So check that out. Also, RK Spookware, we're an affiliate. If you know who they are, you know what they do. We were just talking about it. And if you need the metal bits that you're going to need for that, that's where you can get them. RK Spookware. They also have cool patches, cool shirt designs, all sorts of neat stuff. Let's see. I am also an affiliate of Lions Not Sheep. Again, there's a affiliate link on the link tree, and they are super cool. They have some super cool designs and stuff, so you definitely want to check them out as well. Check out our boy Dave at Poppin's Patches. Even though he made the patch that he made with an eagle on it, check him out. It's although upsetting, it is very high quality.
It's
and
a very high quality patch.
And hashtag, they're really cool designs.
Hashtag just one time.
Yeah, it was just one time. All right. I'm definitely affiliates of other people. Oh, check out Reaper Brand Apparel. They have some cool hats. They have some cool shirts. They have their Broken Not Defeated challenge. I encourage everybody to take. It's super amazing. The owner also does a really cool seminar for self-help and like self-motivation, everything else. You should also probably check out if that's something that you think you could benefit from. Super cool. Very proud to be associated with them as well. I know I'm forgetting somebody else.
Walk the Talk America.
Yes, Walk the Talk America. Check them out. Awesome organization. We had their founder on the show a little while back. You can go back and check out that episode where he talks about it, why it was founded, what their end game is, everything else.
My anxiety still brings up how weird I was on that episode.
Yeah. Mike was so cool though. Like Mike was awesome. He was very, very chill and great to have on the show. I'd love to have him back sometime. He was super cool. He had a lot of cool stuff to say. I think there's at least it's somebody else that I'm an affiliate of that I'm forgetting. The stuff's in the link tree.
Yeah.
Check him out.
Scott says, Cantankerous Tinkerer says that his kiddos sat through the episode tonight. So what's up, Connor? I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, feel free to message me on Facebook. I'll be happy to answer them.
Dave says that the eagle patch should be channel merch. Is that going to be our very first merch thing? Is going to be the freaking eagle patch?
Just one time.
Just one time. You know what you could do too is since it doesn't have the just one time, is you could do like just a little tab, like just a little mini tab that just says it was just one time.
It's just one time.
The set to the same curve radius as the bottom of the patch and just sit right there.
The rocker.
Kind of like a rocker. Yeah.
Yeah. With the rocker for the backs.
Yeah. So you could do that.
There you go.
Oh, anyway, I think that's everything. I think that's everybody. If I forgot somebody and you're one of my sponsors and you're watching it, I'm really sorry, but your stuff is in the link tree. And so people will totally check it out.
Yes. That's linktree.com/anarchyamongfriends.
There you go.
Yep. All right. You got anything else? Give us a random piece of life advice.
Random piece of life advice?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got something. There's an article that came out about a study recently that says dad jokes are good for your child's health because it creates a bonding experience with your child. So there it is. Go tell dad jokes.
Tell dad jokes to your kids.
Mm-hmm. What does that look like? It's fucking glowing over my shoulder. What is that? Do you see that?
Yeah, I do. That's weird.
That's weird. That's a ghost.
Dave wanted to know if mine glows in the dark. I don't know if mine glows in the dark, to be honest with you.
I don't know. You have to wait till it's dark and build a couch cushion fort and find out.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yep. So... On that note,
build couch cushion forts with your kids. Build couch cushion forts with your kids and tell them dad jokes.
I'm 43 years old. I want to go build a couch cushion fort.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I need a couch cushion fort. I need Cheez-Its and I need a Super Nintendo right now.
That would be sweet.
Yes. Super Mario World or Rock and Roll Racing.
Yeah. I just saw that Heavy Weapon is now available on Xbox One. So I'm super excited about that. Yeah. I love Heavy Weapon.
So, on that note, again, for the fourth or fifth note, we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Peace.